smoke and mirrors. Sleight of hand. Blink and you'll miss it. Let's talk about illusion this morning. I don't know if you're like me, but I enjoy going to see a good magic show when the magician pulls off a trick so incredible and you're left wondering, just how did he do that? Have you ever had that experience? And have you ever seen an illusion that messed with your brain? When I was a kid, I remember first seeing these things called optical illusions. Have you seen them? You might remember this one. This is called the impossible triangle. Because you look at it and you think, well, there's 3 points, right? A triangle is supposed to have 3 points, and it's got 3 angles, and they're supposed to have 3 angles, and it's got 3 sides, and it's supposed to have 3 sides. But when you look at it, it's impossible because the way it twists, it can't possibly come together like that. The surfaces don't match up. If you had it in front of you, it'd be all wonky in all directions. So that's the impossible triangle. There are also great illusions made out of just lines. This next one looks like a tunnel. Looks like you could just fall straight down that tunnel. Is that me? All right, we're going to take care of that. I'm going to sing. No, I'm not going to sing.
How about now?
All right. So this looks like a tunnel. But the thing is, this is a 2D image. It's just lines on a page, right? But the way that it's made, it makes it look three-dimensional. It looks like you could fall straight down that tunnel. This next one is also lines. This looks like hills and valleys. Just made of lines, just different thicknesses, different distances from each other, and you have this visual illusion of hills and valleys like on a topographical map. But the illusions that always confounded me and frustrated me as a kid were the ones where you stared at an image and you tried to see another hidden image inside of it. Do you know the ones I'm talking about? How about this? Here's an example of this one. Inside this image are some numbers. Can you see them? Okay, so there's some numbers hidden inside there, and I'd like to know how many numbers you see. So if you can see 2 of the numbers in there, I want you to shout 2. Okay, if you can see 3 numbers, I want you to shout 3. If you can see 4 numbers, I want you to shout 4. All right, good, you guys are doing great. I don't want you to worry if you can't see all the numbers. There's actually 7 of them. Wow. 3, 4, it goes from left to right, 3, 4, 5, 2, 8, 3, 9. Yeah, there's 7 numbers in there. Now, if you can't see them all, don't worry. I've got an optometrist in the lobby. They're going to set up a free consultation with you after church. No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that. So that's illusion. We're in week 3 of winning the war in your mind. Pastor Craig Groeschel of Life Church says most of life's battles are won or lost in your mind. In the first week of the series, Pastor Carl talked about how the battle we're in, the devil wants to invade our minds. He wants to deceive us and get us to believe in illusion. But God has given us weapons to fight with, right? And we read about in 2 Corinthians 10, this central verse for our series. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." I love that. We take captive every thought. Because if the enemy is going to try to mess with our minds and use illusion against us, God is going to help us to see clearly. In week 2, we talked about how vital it is that we focus on what is true and beautiful and good. And that comes from Philippians 4, verse 8, that says, "Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable." So I want you to keep these 2 ideas in your mind. For today, the first one was taking every thought captive and obedient to Christ. And then the second one is fixing your thoughts on what is true and beautiful and good. Because we're going to build on those things today. And we're going to talk about defeating your negative thoughts. Have you ever heard this quote? "I think, therefore I am." You ever heard that? That's French philosopher René Descartes said that. "I think, therefore I am." In other words, the mind and the body are connected, right? The mind and the body are connected. You can doubt just about anything in the world, just about anything except your own existence. You can't doubt your own existence because you're there to think about it. But how do you think about the way you exist? How do you think about the way you live? See, the life you live is often a reflection of the thoughts you think. Now, if you're a note taker this morning, I want you to start right here and write this down. The life you live is often a reflection of the thoughts you think. If you're not a note taker, I want you to start right here and write this down. The life you live is often a reflection of the thoughts you think. If you've ever known someone who is always positive, you'll know what I'm talking about. Have you ever been around someone who is just relentlessly positive and upbeat all the time? I mean, you ask them, how's your day going? And their answer, oh, it's fantastic. It's amazing. It's incredible. It doesn't matter what day it is. It's just always incredible. It's always the best day, right? And I have to wonder, how did they get like that? How did they get like that? So this week I did a little research, did a little Google research, a little World Wide Web crawling. And I found that the very first thing the internet suggests when it comes to positive thinking is that if you want to be positive, you have to start by believing in yourself. Believe that you will succeed. Now, there's a lot more to it than that, but I think that supports the idea that the way I think affects the way I live. The life you live is often a reflection of the thoughts you think. So if you're going into your day or into your job or into your school class or into your relationships and you're having these negative thoughts about what's going to happen, chances are you're going to find negative stuff. And you're going to feel negative about that day. And if you go into the day thinking positive thoughts, chances are much better that you're going to find something positive, right? How many know that's true? Yeah, because the way you think often, the way you live is often a reflection of the way you think. But what about the spiritual side of positive and negative thoughts? Is there a spiritual side of positive and negative thinking? Well, thought life is a universal part of our experience as human beings, right? We all think thoughts. We all walk through our day thinking thoughts, and those thoughts affect and reflect in the way we live. So God knew we would have to navigate this, so I think there's probably something God had to say about it. This morning, we're going to look at what God says about how we navigate this. We'll look at some scripture to help us. So we're going to start with that story that we heard that Jason read for us from John chapter 5. We heard this story about Jesus meeting the man at the pool at Bethesda. Now, I absolutely love this story. I think it's full of really helpful stuff that talks about the way that we think. So here in John chapter 5, we hear this story. We learn there was this pool, and this is a picture of the modern day site where they think the pool was located. We learn there was this pool, and it was rumored to have these healing properties, right? And so a whole crowd of sick people were known to gather around the pool. It was full all the time. The scripture says there's all these porches and places where people could sit around the pool, and there were always crowds of sick people there. The blind, the sick, the lame, the paralyzed. And so they would gather around the pool, and they would try to get down in the water when it was stirred up. Now, who was doing the stirring, and why was it stirred up, and how did that look? We don't know the answer to all those questions. But the common belief was that if you could be the first one into the water when it was stirred up, then you would be healed from whatever was affecting you, whatever sickness you were suffering from. So Jesus arrived, and he met this man. And this man was sitting there waiting among the crowd, and he'd been there waiting for the pool for how long? 38 years. 38 years. That is mind-boggling and extreme to me. 38 years. We don't know what his problem was. We don't know what his particular sickness or infirmity was. The Bible says that the people that gathered there were blind, and they were sick, and they were lame, and they were paralyzed. Any of that stuff could have really hampered his efforts to get into the pool. So it almost doesn't matter what it was, but it could have been one of those things. So Jesus arrived. He met this man, and the Bible says he knew the man's struggle. Verse 6 says that Jesus knew that the man had been ill for a very long time. He knew immediately. And did you catch Jesus' response to the man? What did Jesus say to the man? He said, "Would you like to get well? Would you like to get well?" But the blind, sick, lame man, he didn't say yes, did he? That's even more mind-boggling to me. Can you imagine? This man is suffering for 38 years, and when Jesus comes to him and says, "Would you like to get well?" he doesn't say yes. If that was me, I would have all but shouted at Jesus, "Yes! I want to get well. That's all I want. Yes, yes, sign me up." Right? But instead of seeing this opportunity right in front of him, the man assumed that healing was an illusion. And in keeping with his own internal negative thoughts, he began to explain everything that was wrong instead. He said, "I can't. Everyone gets there first. Other people get in front of me. There's no one here to help me." He explains everything that was wrong. See, Jesus is standing right there asking him this big key question, "Would you like to get well?" And his answer was, "I can't." If we didn't know the rest of the story, this would be enough to break your heart. That in that place where he's being offered healing, his answer is, "I can't." The sick man was so used to disappointment. He was so used to suffering for nearly four decades, so used to being in pain, so used to being alone, so used to things not going his way, that when he was offered the chance to be free, he didn't believe it. And he said, "I can't." But then Jesus said, in my paraphrase, in my mind, Jesus said, "I can." And he proved to this man that healing was not only possible, but it was for him. He simply spoke it into reality over this man's life. And despite all the years of suffering and all the negative thoughts that he'd had and things he'd experienced, he was healed by the touch of Jesus. Would you like to get well? Would you like to get well? I believe that Jesus is still asking that question to us here in 2023. Jesus Christ is still setting us free today from the deceptions and the illusions of the enemy, things we can't see through on our own. The devil wants you to believe that you're sick, that you're lame, that you're blind, that you're paralyzed, that you're defeated. But God says something else. He says, "Would you like to get well?" And he can speak it into reality over your life today. God's healing goes beyond the physical into the spiritual, and he works from the inside out to recreate us totally and completely. No matter how long we've been suffering, God says we can be set free. Now, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to raise your hand this morning if you've ever had a negative thought. If you've ever had a negative thought, everyone, give me those hands right now. See, I know this is an everyone question, and I know it seems obvious, but do you know why I ask you to show me your hands this morning? It's because there might be someone out here in this room that thinks they're alone in the fight. And you're not alone today, and I want you to know that. You are not alone. We are all fighting this same battle. We're all part of this same war. See, the enemy hates you. The enemy hates you, and he wants to get you to believe the wrong things about yourself and about your life. The enemy may hate you, but God loves you more. The enemy may hate you, but God loves you more. And he offers the healing that is needed no matter what you're struggling with. If you are struggling today, Jesus is in front of you right now. Imagine the Spirit of God here in this place, because it is. Jesus is in front of you right now asking, "Would you like to get well?" If your answer is yes, then thank you. If your answer is yes, then can you focus on the voice of Jesus over top all of the rest of the noise? What a challenge, right? Can you hear the voice of Jesus over all the rest of the noise? See, we don't exist in silence anymore. It's hard to find. There's always something that's vying for our attention. It might be entertainment, right? You might be stuck to the screen all the time. You might be binging your favorite show. It doesn't matter. It might be entertainment that always drags you back again. It might be your kids. Maybe they're the ones making all the noise. I don't know. Mine are not quite as noisy as they used to be, but maybe it is your job that always consumes your thoughts. Maybe that's what's loudest in your head. You can't get away from it. Maybe it's your smartphone. I didn't know how that got in there. That can't be a problem, right? That can't be a problem for anybody. Well, I know it's a distraction for me, and so I'm working on that one. That one's mine. I put that in there because that's me talking to me. Put down the phone, right? It's always dragging you back. But see, you can take away the TV and you can put the kids to bed and you can clock out of work and you can put the phone on the charger, and after all that, you still have to deal with the voice of what's going on inside of you. What's going on inside of you? What does that inner monologue sound like? And is that voice louder than the voice of Jesus in your life? What are the things that you believe about yourself, about your successes and your failures, about your relationships, about your struggles? These are really big questions. So I want to do a little thought exercise with you. We're going to put up on the screen a scale. This is what I call a positivity scale, right? 1 is super negative all the time. 10 is super positive all the time. And I want you to look at this, and I want you to think about what you think and what you feel and what your attitude is normally like. And I want you to give yourself a number on that scale of positivity. Go ahead, think about it for a moment. This is another great opportunity to write something down. You can write down positivity scale and you can say, I'm a 3.5. I'm an 8, whatever you might be. I didn't even put this in my notes, but I'm going to put myself somewhere between a 7 and an 8. I'm generally pretty positive and upbeat, but there are things that can really knock me, right? There are things that generally I'm wanting to go through my day and be positive with people. And when I talk to you, when I approach you, I'm generally not coming to you with bad news, or at least I try not to. Hopefully you don't think of me that way. There are things that can really knock me down, right? I'm not super positive, bulletproof, positive all the time, but you know, I try to live positively. So there's a Christian author named John Acuff that I want to share with you. He wrote this book recently. He has a great take on dealing with our inner monologue. This book that John wrote is called Soundtracks, A Surprising Solution to Overthinking. I love that title, A Surprising Solution to Overthinking. I heard this man speak at Global Leadership Summit last year, and he talked about how our thoughts can affect our goals. So if you want to be successful in your education, or you want to have a strong and healthy marriage, or you want to have a good, you know, collaborative culture at your workplace that's really healthy, those are all goals, right? Overarching goals. And they can be really hampered or really helped by the kinds of thoughts that you play over and over and over in your minds. These repeated thoughts are what he calls soundtracks. What soundtracks normally play in your mind. Acuff reminds me that we hear our own voice more often than we hear the voice of anyone else, right? But just because we hear our own voice more often than the voice of anybody else, it doesn't mean our voice is always right. It means that sometimes it's the loudest, but it's not always right. So if you have a negative thought, his encouragement is to try asking yourself a couple of simple questions, right? If you have a negative thought, ask yourself, is that really true? Is that really helpful to me? Is that kind? Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it kind? And if any of the answers to any of those questions is no, then you should probably treat that statement, that voice in your mind, as an illusion, something that you can't really trust in that moment. So let me ask you today, have the experiences of your past created a defeated attitude inside of you and made you struggle with negative soundtracks? Think about yourself. This is a very introspective moment. When that big project is looming, when a job interview is coming, When something is out there ahead of you, how do you think about that? Do you expect to fail? Do you expect bad things from yourself? When your spouse approaches you and says, we need to talk. There's something we need to talk about. There's something not going quite right. Do you immediately feel worthless? Do you feel like a letdown? Do you feel like a disappointment? Is that where your mind jumps to? Do you tell yourself you're stupid sometimes? Do you tell yourself you're a failure, you're a loser, you just can't do it? Remember that man at the pool with Jesus? That's what he said. He said, I can't. Do you think that way? Even if it's not a constant problem for you, chances are you've probably thought that way at some point. But I want you to know, the more you think that way, the more you think that way. The life you live is often a reflection of the thoughts you think. A lot of what we're talking about in this series comes from the writings of the Apostle Paul. Paul's the one who wrote both of those verses that we talked about earlier. 2 Corinthians, where it talks about taking captive every thought and making it obedience to Christ. And then Philippians 4:8, where he talks about fixing your thoughts on what is true and beautiful and good. Those both came from Paul. I think Paul's a really interesting guy, and he's somebody that we have the advantage of learning a lot about from the pages of the New Testament, since he wrote so much of it. And other writers talked about his life experiences and his travels and what he did to spread the gospel. Paul was an interesting guy. One of the things that amazes me about the Apostle Paul is that following Jesus caused him, in my opinion, to end up pretty high on the positivity scale. See, Paul, I know he would call out sin for what it was. He would correct people. He'd correct churches when they needed it. But Paul, generally, when you looked at his own life, he tended to see things through what I would call a spiritually positive lens. Last week, we heard words from Paul when he was very literally in chains in a prison because of his work for Christ. Paul was a guy who was changed by Christ and committed to following him. So even though he was in prison, even though he was in chains, even though he was suffering, he says he was content even in those circumstances. Now, if I compare that to myself, I'm not sure how I could be content in those circumstances. I don't even think a prison right now today would be a great place to be. And when I think back about a first century prison, what that must have been like, I can't imagine being content in those circumstances. I think it would have been perfectly reasonable for Paul to be frustrated and to be grumpy and to be negative about what he had to go through. And then we would read something like this from Philippians chapter 1. This is my own take on the grumpy Paul. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me really stinks. And as a result of the suffering I've been through, I'm quitting this ministry work and I'm never going near the church again because I'm sick of it. You know, I'd venture to say there are a lot of people over the years who have felt like this, who have felt like Paul, the fake Paul. Things like, man, I am just so tired of being disappointed. I have got to stop thinking that things can get better. Instead, I think I'm just going to look out for myself the best I can. See, there's a problem with that. There's a problem with that. Because when you take that attitude, I just got to look out for myself the best I can. I just got to figure it out on my own. I just got to get through this. If that's your attitude, you're leaving yourself to figure it out on your own and face your negative soundtracks over and over and over and over and over and over again with no hope or little hope of breaking that cycle. And so that negativity is free to infect and overwhelm every single day of your life. But see, it's Jesus who helps us to think differently. Amen? It's Jesus who helps us to think differently. Paul was a man who was changed by Christ and committed to following him. So instead of writing this whiny fake verse that I just put up there, Paul instead writes in Philippians chapter 1, he says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. I'm here for a reason, he says. Paul's mindset was centered on Christ. He counted it as a privilege to go through difficult things because he knew it would serve the cause of Christ. And that is what I call a spiritually positive lens on a very negative situation. When we deal with the temptation to let negative soundtracks spin out of control in our lives, God wants to help us break the cycle. He wants us to be surrendered to him, and he promises he will give us the power and the strength that we need to see things through a spiritually positive lens. Psychologists have a term for this idea. They call it cognitive reframing. It's the idea, the practice that you can identify distorted or negative thoughts and actively work to replace them with more balanced and positive thoughts. Now, I know for some people, negativity is just a little habit, little side thing that you sometimes bump into. For some people, defeat has got such a hold on your heart that you don't know how to get free. So wherever you are on that spectrum today, I want to invite you into what we're going to do and ask you to lean on the power of Christ to break the cycle. I'm going to go over some ideas about cognitive reframing. These are some very concrete ways that you can partner with the work that God wants to do in your heart and mind. So if you want to defeat negative thoughts, first I'm going to invite you to identify areas of change, areas in your thinking for change, right? You can look at your life and you know where you're struggling with negativity the most. Maybe it's your daily commute. Man, I cannot deal with these horses and buggies anymore. Not that. Maybe the traffic gets to you. Maybe other drivers who are rude get to you. I don't know. Maybe it's communication with your spouse. Maybe you've been having trouble getting on the same page lately. Maybe you can't seem to explain things in a way that the other person understands it, and it's really causing you frustration. So you're negative. You don't even want to talk to them anymore because you're like, this isn't going to go well. Why do I even want to try? Right? And that starts to build a rift between you. Maybe that's negativity that's rooting up in your life and in your marriage. Whatever the area is, I want you to think about it. I want you to identify it. If there's something coming to your mind right now, don't push it aside. Write it down on your notes. Make a note. I need to pray about this. I need to ask God to help me because this is an area that I've identified that I need to approach more positively. Secondly, I want you to try positive self-talk. You know, so many people deal with negative self-talk. That idea, I'm a loser, I can't do it, all these things that come up I do it to myself sometimes when I make a dumb mistake. I'll be like, dummy. You know, and I gotta not say that to myself. A great rule of thumb is if someone's standing in front of you and they're struggling, what would you say to them? Right? Would you be like, you're a dummy? Would you say that? No, I wouldn't say that. That'd be incredibly rude and callous and heartless to do. That's not how I want to be. So why would I be that way to myself? Try positive self-talk. Maybe you can think about, what if I had a friend who was standing in front of me and they were dealing with this issue? If they were telling me, hey, I'm really struggling with this, what would I say to them? What would I say to them to try to help? Maybe you can identify a piece of encouragement that you yourself need to hear. And that's something that you can say to yourself in that moment instead of being negative. And lastly, remember to find the good. Remember to find the good. I think this is key to taking a more positive approach. Find a bright spot to focus on. We read in Scripture over and over and over again, people who celebrate God's faithfulness. They look back and they think, what has God done? This is great. This is amazing. Even in the midst of difficulty, even in the midst of struggle, even when we don't like our circumstances that we're in right now, has God been faithful? Yes, he has. Has he shown up for us? Yes, he has. Has he been there for me? Yes, he has. Remember to find that good. Instead of assuming the worst or narrowing in on things that aren't going the way you want, look for the ways God is showing up right now. My wife, Sarah, talks about how in difficult moments she has these little God moments. That's her terminology for it. Things where God shows up and reminds her that he's there. He hasn't left. It can be something so small like, the light was green, I got there on time. You know, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I saw that. You know, if you look for the goodness of God, even in the midst of a broken world, you'll find it. Because God is always good. Always. He hasn't left you. You know, that probably sounds familiar. Last week we talked about Philippians 4:8, right? Fix your eyes on what is good, what is beautiful, what is true. That's what we heard. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit can recreate our souls and our minds from the inside out when we focus on Him and when we surrender to Him. My friends, would you like to get well? Would you like to get well? The invitation is open. God didn't make you to be sick and miserable. You may not be able to control what happens to you or what has happened to you, but you can choose your response. Surrender to Christ. Every day, He will offer you the hope and the power you need to defeat the schemes of the enemy and the negativity that so often surrounds our lives. I mean, Jesus met this man at the pool. The guy had been suffering for almost 4 decades. Jesus knew. He knew the man's story, and today He knows yours. He offered the man healing even when he didn't believe. And so today, will you put your belief, your trust in Him? And if you're so negative, if you're so struggling, maybe you're depressed, maybe you don't know what to do in your life, that you're like, I just can't. You're like this man at the pool and you're like, I can't. Then I would ask you, can you want to? If you can't do it, can you want to do it? If you can't trust Christ, can you want to trust Christ? And can you offer Him that from where you are? Because He will answer you. He will work in you. He will heal you. Today, if you're struggling with negative thoughts, anything that's making you feel like healing is out of reach, God has the answer for you. And I want you to remember that when the man said to Jesus, I can't, Jesus' response in what He did was, I can. If this is you today, if you're struggling with negative thoughts, negative self-talk, then my request to you would be when this service ends to find someone to pray with you. It doesn't have to be me. You don't have to come down front. I will be down front for anyone who wants to come and pray with me. But if you can find someone, there's prayer team members here. You can turn around to the person in the seat behind you. It doesn't matter to me. Find someone to pray with you to ask for God's help in conquering, defeating negative thoughts in your life, and He will help. It's a common struggle. There's no shame in asking for prayer or support. The enemy wants to fool you into thinking you're defeated when God has already won the victory for you instead. Don't submit to the enemy's schemes. Don't listen to that voice today. Go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll demolish those strongholds in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask You today to fight the battle for our minds. The series that we're in is one that we all need because we all struggle sometimes to have our minds in alignment with who You are and what You say about us. We thank You that You have created us, that You have called us to be Your children, that You tell us that we are saved and sanctified. We're no longer sinners. We are saints according to Your word. Lord, we thank You that that is Your will for us in Christ Jesus. The struggle with negativity is a common one, so help us, Lord, to lean into You and all that You want to do in our hearts and minds today, in Jesus' name.